Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sportrack came out with their list of details coming from Summer League and them sitting down and talking to NBA execs. One of the details that came out from a Bulls exec talked about the Bulls' style of play. On today's episode, I want to talk about one of the key things that the Chicago Bulls are missing to really dive into the style of play that they want to dive into. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, the Chicago Bulls front office is voted as the second worst front office in the game of basketball. We're going to talk about that as well. And we're going to look at the Chicago Bulls roster decisions. We're going to get to all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. I want to start off talking about this. A Chicago Bulls exec, was quoted by SpotRack and talking about the Bulls' style of play and how they are really, you know, invested and focused on that style of play. Now, I do think there is a certain aspect missing in that style of play. And as a matter of fact, for anybody who watched my live stream last night, by the way, if you're on the podcast side, you got to go over and subscribe to the YouTube. There are certain live streams that happen that just aren't necessarily long enough to post as a podcast episode, but I will say that you guys could be missing out on some key information there if you're not subscribed. But with that said, this is the quote. It says, last year we played pretty fast. I think we can play even faster next season. Our roster is built for it. And you saw with Indiana and OKC in the finals that playing with pace is so important. We're going to get after it on defense, force turnovers, and get out and run. That suits Matis Bouzelas and Noah Essanay as our young forwards and all of our guards really well. We also think that Isaac Okoro would benefit in a more up-tempo style too. There's untapped potential there. Now, I'm going to start off in the good, right? We're going to do the compliment sandwich thing, right? We're going to start off talking about something good, talk about what I want to get into. We're going to end on something good, right? So first, yes, the Bulls do have a roster that playing a fast-paced style, it makes total sense. When you look at Kobe, when you look at Giddey, hell, Ayo Dosunmu coming back, he's one of the better creators in transition. When you don't have players that necessarily are best at half-court creation, it is always good to try to get out in pace. You also have a really good rebounding team. When you look at your rebounding guards and Josh Giddey and Kobe White's a really good rebounder for his position as well, right? You have those guys. Josh Giddey was second in the team in rebounds per game, first in the team in assists. Like, that right there is automatic creation that you have in transition. And I just think it does fit the roster more. Matis Bouzelas out in transition. Kevin Huerter as the trailer can get out in transition as well. Julian, Daylen, all these players are players that theoretically play better in transition. So that's there. You have started building your roster, and I think it's clear you're building towards that play style, which is a more modern play style, and you're getting up more threes, which has been something that really hurt the Bulls the last couple of years, is that they just, the math problem. We talked a lot about that over the last couple of seasons. There was so much math problem with the Chicago Bulls and how they did not really, they didn't match what the league was doing as far as three-point shooting. And because of that, even in games where the Bulls had a solid enough offensive day, because of their lack of three-point shooting and three-point creation, it put them in a spot where they were still behind the league, right? Last season, the Bulls were top seven in the NBA as far as scoring per game at 117 per game. When you look at three-point attempts per game, the Chicago Bulls were the third team as far as three-point attempts per game. And again, third in three-point makes per game. It made them a more modern style. When you add into that, getting out in transition, those type of things, it just was more modern. You've modernized your offense. It's great. It fits your roster. It fits all those things. Now, the problem that comes in this is that you talk about OKC, you talk about the Pacers, and one of the key things that the Pacers had, they now lost it, and that OKC has as well in abundance, is your bigs. It's important to have defensive focused and aligned bigs to be able to play that type of style, especially when you don't have the best defenders. Now, I would say this. Both those teams already have a leg up because they have more on-ball defenders. OKC Thunder is filled with on-ball disruptive defenders, right? The Indiana Pacers, they have on-ball pesky defenders. Now, I do think the Bulls are slowly starting to get there. No, Essanga is going to be one of those guys. Matis Buzelis wants to be one of those guys. Hasn't proved it yet, but he does want to be one of those guys. I think you get to being there. Ayo, Okoro, though they are those guys. Patrick Williams has been that guy before, but his defense has slipped over the last couple of years, so we're going to hope that that gets back there. And even that quote at the end, talking about Isaac Okoro, you know, the Bulls dropped a video with him yesterday. He said that he wants to lock up the opposing team's best player. And if he adopts that mentality, really, great. But one of the key things that they're missing is not only rim protection, but productive, defensive-minded bigs. When you look at blocks per game, Miles Turner averaged 2 blocks per game. Chet Holmgren averaged 1.9 blocks per game. The Chicago Bulls did not have a single player average a block per game. Matis Buzelis was close at 0.9, but then again, he's your power forward. He may be your small forward going forward. You need more production than that. The Bulls were also averaged less than 5 blocks per game. Both those two teams averaged more than that, and part of that is their defensive-focused players and their bigs. You need a more productive big if you're going to play that style. And that really goes all up and down. I think the Memphis Grizzlies is the only team that plays with pace that doesn't have a more mobile big because they have Zach Edey. You know, they've adapted to try to do that. But that's one of the key things here. And keep in mind, this is not a segment to shit on Nikola Vucevic. That's not what this is. This is just talking about if this is the style that you really want to play, this is how you want to execute your offense, you need a different big to do it. And there's just no other real way around that if you're not going to have better defenders. Now, if the Bulls swap out a Kobe White for a better defender or two-way shooting guard, all right, maybe you don't need it as much. But that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. In the same article that we're talking about, the Bulls talked about how important Kobe is, how much of a foundational player he is, how much they want to keep him around, and that's fine. The thing that AK has failed at, to me, right, And this is what he did in the last. Like, I think that he built something that would have been decent. Had Lonzo never went down, I do think that that Bulls team would have been competing for 4 and 5 seeds over the last couple of years if that team never went down and AK was able to focus on adding things that that team needed. Like, we never got to see Lonzo with Andre Drummond. I think that would have been great, right? A real nice transition lob threat duo. We never really got to see it, right? We never got to see it. So, but the thing that AK fails at to me sometimes is that when he feels like he is on to something, he does not pivot off of it. And so I'm just worried that, you know, that if they already feel like, oh, we got the style of play down and locked, are you going to still be adding what you need to add to make this work the best way? Now, one could say, I said compliment sandwich, maybe the combination of Noah Essanga, Matis Buzelis, maybe you start getting enough rim protection no matter where your center position is, and then maybe you feel comfortable in doing that, right? And maybe that's the case. If that is, and it ends up working out that way, great. Like, but as of right now, this team is lacking such a major component to how they claim that they want to play. And as long as you're missing that component, I don't know how successful you're going to be, right? You can put up, like the Bulls, again, top 7 and top 10 in scoring last year. One of the top teams as far as three-point attempts and three-point makes. But did we feel like that? Did we feel like an elite offense? No. So you've adapted your style. Now you have to refine it and become elite in that. And that's the next step and hump that the Bulls have to get over. And I just don't know if the Bulls are ready to invest what's needed. I've made this comparison before. I think that for my Bears fans, Ryan Poles, one of the things that he lacked up until the season is a good eye and evaluation of offensive line, which has hurt the Bears for a lot, right? I think I don't know if AK just doesn't appreciate it, doesn't respect it enough, or if he's just waiting till that perfect guy becomes available. But the way that AK really seems as of yet to not really know how to evaluate what's needed from a modern center or go out and get that guy is a little bit concerning. I love the style of play that we're locked into. I love the style of play that we've adapted and that we want to use as our identity. It's very modern. But you need the big production to get that done. And luckily, the Bulls are in a place where they don't need some crazy offensive productive big. They just need a defender. They need somebody who's going to go in there and do the dirty work. They need somebody who's going to be able to go out there and switch, rebound, block shots, right? And even if you don't do all of those things, a combination somewhere of that, if you're looking at the Venn diagram, falls somewhere in between those things. And if you can do that, that is where you can get to the place of this system, this team that you're trying to build. Great. The Bulls feel like they think that they have their backcourt in Josh Giddey and Kobe White. They think they have their front court in Noah Essanay and Matis Bouzelas. You don't have the center that fits those four players yet. You don't have the center that makes those four players their shortcomings overcome yet. You don't have that on this roster. You need to find a way to go out and get it. And that's going to be the last thing, and however long that takes, right? We got time. Matis is developing. Noah's developing. Hell, Josh is still developing. But you got to find that guy. And I think once you get that center that's able to do that, that mobile big that can do some things, that's when this offense really may be able to take off. And so we'll see. We'll see. And the offense and defense is so people may ask, and haven't done a good job at explaining this through my rant. People may ask, well, Hayes, if you're talking about offense, why is the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Defense. Why are you also talking about defense so much? Because in the style that the Bulls want to play, to get out and run fast, you have to do things well. You have to either force turnovers and steals. You have to rebound the ball correctly, right? You have to be able to, and you have to be able to guard the rim because other teams are going to go out in transition. When you play fast, it also gives more opportunities to the opposing team's offenses. So you need those things. It goes hand in hand. How do you get out in transition? You get out in transition by making defensive stops, getting rebounds, or getting steals. That's how you get out in transition. So the defense is intrinsically linked to the Bulls' offense and the style of play that they want to establish here in Chicago with this roster. So that's why it's important to get that big that fits that style if you really want to excel at it. And we'll see how invested the Bulls really are in that. We'll see that. But, all right, enough of that. I want to talk about the CBS article in which they ranked all the front offices in basketball, and the Chicago Bulls came in at 29th. Now, I know my Bulls fans that are over this team and this front office are going to say, yeah, that sounds about right. And not to say that this team has not done some head-scratching, idiotic things. They've done it. They actually ranked the Bulls in February 30th in the NBA, so the Bulls technically moved up one spot. But they said this: well, at least they're negotiating with their own free agents. After negotiating against themselves for Nikola Vucevic and Patrick Williams in recent years, the Bulls finally seem to have drawn a line in the sand with Josh Giddey in restricted free agency. That's progress. Sadly, little of it has been made in many other areas in which the Bulls have been deficient. A year ago, they had a role player in Alex Caruso that practically any team could have used. Rather than trading him for draft picks, they swapped him for Giddey, a recent lottery pick whose original team no longer wanted him. They've seemingly seen that flaw in logic because they themselves are seemingly hesitant to pay Giddey. Yet, they made a very similar trade this summer by turning Lonzo Ball into Isaac Okoro. More on that in a second. In the entire five-year reign of Arturis Karnisova and Mark Eversley, the Bulls have acquired just one future first pick through a trade. It was a pick from Portland that they would be lottery protected for 7 years. Getting that pick cost the Bulls Lauri Markkanen. Maybe that's why they're so gun shy that they chose to draft Noah Essanay at 12 rather than grab the ultra-valuable 2026 Pelicans pick Atlanta eagerly scooped up one slot later. It's the same old story in Chicago. The Bulls' ambition doesn't seem to extend beyond filling their arena and dunking the luxury tax. The Bulls have failed on just about every roster-building front, drafting, trading, contracts, and sort of coherent vision of it all. You know things are bleak when Jerry Reinsdorf selling the White Sox to Matt Ishbia, his brother, who represents real hope to that broken franchise. In February, I assumed the Bulls would hold on to 30 slot in these rankings until Reinsdorf sold them as well. And then the Pelicans hired Joe Dumars. Here's the dumbass thing in this, right? The Bulls have made mistakes. But when you talk about the Bulls have failed on every front, like let's be clear. The Bulls But every contract that the Bulls have signed players to have been reasonable. Now, yes, the Patrick Williams contract is a fail because of his production level. Absolutely. Nikola Vucevic, even in people like to crap on Nikola Vucevic, he's one of the more productive bigs here. But I think here's the thing. What the Bulls have failed at is having a true vision and building towards something. The Bulls have just been spinning their wheels for years. And when you just spin your wheels, yeah, your front office is going to get a little bit dinged by it. Now, at 30 came in at the Pelicans. At 28, the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings, who have most of the Bulls roster from, well, not most of it, but have a lot of the Bulls' old roster, who traded De'Aaron Fox, who acquired DeMar DeRozan, which seemingly broke that team, who now has Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan like we haven't seen that, and now a more difficult conference than what it is. Do you have that team above the Bulls? The Phoenix Suns, who spent money, right? Who spent money, had to buy out Bradley Beal, had to trade away Kevin Durant, right? And still don't have a roster that fully makes sense, but had one of the highest luxury tax bills in the NBA for a team that, oh, by the way, had worse record than the Chicago Bulls. That front office, I'm all for knocking the Chicago Bulls because they made stupid mistakes, right? And some people are going to say, well, at least they tried and went for it. Yeah, guess what? Activity is not accomplishment. Just because you tried and went for it and you failed, you crashed miserably. The Dallas Mavericks are in here at 26. Now, I get it. They got lucky. And that's what the lottery, I don't mean that as a knock on them. The lottery is all luck. You got Cooper Flagg, but you traded Luka Doncic in his prime for Anthony Day-to-Day Davis. That's what you did here. That's a better front office? Like, come on. The thing is, I get it that a lot of these things and these rankings are going to come down to narrative. And that's just going to be the thing. And the Bulls front office definitely deserves to get knocked for a few things that they did. The Alex Caruso is going to be thing. There's going to be one that everybody knocks because, oh, well, they didn't get draft picks for it. But I tell you what, if Josh Giddey turns into the player that it looks like he's going to turn into and is a, let's just say, 16-8-8 player, that's fine, right? That's a perfectly fine trade than some arbitrary lottery pick that probably wouldn't have been put up those numbers. But the Bulls still do have some of their dumbassery in the front office. This whole Josh Giddey saga that's gone on too long, that's a little bit of a knock on you. Trading Lonzo Ball for Isaac Okoro, a player that has actually shot the three ball better than him, shoots at the rim better than him, is a better defender, and he's on the court more. I don't see that as this huge thing to knock the Chicago Bulls against because, now, I will say this. They missed the opportunity to get the 18th overall pick for him at the trade deadline, and that is a bit of a knock, but I'm not knocking the Isaac Okoro acquisition. It's just that, listen, and this isn't just to defend the Bulls or anything like that. The Bulls definitely make some dumbass decisions, and I'm never going to act like this front office doesn't have its own level of dumbassery that we deal with each and every day. And we're going to see what the Bulls do with Giddey, what they're going to do with Kobe, what they're going to do with Ayo Dosunmu, because there's more room for dumbassery there. But to act like the Bulls are the worst front office in basketball, they're not. They're just not. I'm sorry. They're just not. Go and look at the Hornets, right? And look at how many. If you want to talk about failing at every aspect, go look at the Hornets signings. Go look at some of those signings, right? Then go look at some of their draft picks. Go look at some of where the draft picks that they've missed on, by the way. Go look at some of that. So we'll see. And I think ultimately, like, until the Bulls start having more of a proof of concept, they're going to keep getting knocked. And that's understandable. No doubt about that there. But the second worst front office in the game of basketball, and you clearly have aligned your bias in that article by talking about, oh, well, I thought they were going to be 30th. Like begrudgingly, you didn't name them as the worst. It's okay. They have to show and prove it. And that's something that I always say with this team, and I'm never going to backtrack from that. You got to show and prove. And until you prove that you can start doing things consistently, you're always going to fail at it. And that's just an unfortunate part of this when it comes to the Chicago Bulls. So we'll see what happens there. We shall see what happens. But, you know, overall, like even what I said in the first segment, the Bulls missing a key component to what they need for this version of the team to work. Now, you could have had that. You could have gotten both Thomas Sorburn and Noah Essanay, which could have definitely helped your frontline defense quite considerably. Could have been your five and your four for long term. You could have definitely done that. And things like that are always going to be hindsight and all those type of things when it comes down to it. But until this front office really consistently hits the mark, they're going to get knocked. And, you know, that is what it is. But I do think that this front office has made more good decisions than people are willing to say. That's what I'll say. I'm not going to say they've made more good decisions than bad. Because, again, that 3-year stretch where your record was getting worse year after year, you really can't pull too much good out of that because you kept getting worse as a team. But they've done more good things than I think some people are willing to give them credit for, and they've moved off of some players when it was time to. I think moving off Lonzo, it was time. I think it was time to move off Lonzo when they did so. And it just is what it is. Now, they got to go out and prove it. Isaac Okoro has to go out and prove what he can bring to this Bulls team and what he can offer us, and if he helps us in the areas that we need it. Can his volume from three stay increase and the percentage stay the same? Because that's where we're going to need a little bit of Isaac Okoro at. And, you know, you talk about him being better in transition and feeling like he can thrive in a more up-tempo offense, and there's tons of potential untapped there. Well, go out and show us that. Right, how are you going to use these players? The Bulls have now transitioned to a place where progression and development are so important to where the Bulls are right now. Now you got to go out there and show us that you can nail that part of the game. If you can, great. If you don't, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be real ugly. So let's hope that the Bulls are up to that test, man. There's a lot of things that the Bulls, well, they still got to get Josh Giddey locked in. Once you do that, now you just focus on development. You got Wes Unseld here. You got Dan Craig here. You still got your player development department. We want to see what's going to come of that. You need to develop these guys. Modest needs development, even though Modest is putting in the work to do it himself. Noah needs development, even though from what we've heard, Noah is just as driven as Modest Bouzelis, even though he doesn't seem like it off the court. Modest is definitely more personality off the court. Seems like Noah on the court is just as much of a killer and wants to be great at what he needs to do. You're starting to get guys with the right mindset and mentality in here. Now we got to develop that. We have to create an environment and a place and a culture for a team. We got to develop a culture in the team that those type of things are rewarded. Let's see if the Bulls can do it. That's my time for today, though, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like we like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.